Welcome. This is the Dragon Thistle Rugby Pod. Right, and welcome back to the pod. Sorry we missed last week, but we had life commitments.
Last week was my fault. I was still working, wasn't I, in the evening?
Isn't it? I think you just didn't want to talk about the game, to be fair. But, yeah, what a difference a couple of weeks makes, eh?
Yeah.
How are you doing, mate? We had a heavy one, didn't we, in Cardiff? A very, very heavy one.
It was that first day was... It was heavy. That Saturday morning was rough, mate. Although, well, I probably wasn't quite as rough as you, to be fair.
No, so...
You were all right. You were all right until you had breakfast, though, and then that's when you went downhill.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, Friday just killed me off, didn't it? I mean, I think I'd had 10 beers before you arrived from the train and getting to Spoons.
By the way, I arrived at 10 to 2.
So. And yeah, went downhill, we mixed a bit of drink, didn't we? Yeah, Too many Jaegers. Yeah, Friday was decent. I was steaming.
Was it Coyote Young?
You agree, it was decent.
Was right there.
Kicked off on some teenagers.
Oh, he nicked your thing, didn't he?
No, very good. Really good weekend, to be fair. Like you say, I suffered for it. I was absolutely ill for the week. Flu-ish like things. It wasn't COVID, I took a test. But yeah, very good weekend. Well, it was for me. And we'll get on to that, I suppose. But yeah, decent weekend. It was nice to be back watching rugby.
I was like you, like rough, like I didn't like felt like flu-y all week, and I got a cold sore as well. So I must have been run down from the weekend. Just can't handle it anymore, mate.
Oh, mate, it is. Like you say, the Saturday, I woke up sound. I thought, oh, brilliant! I'm amazed, and I had breakfast, and then man down when I really bad effort. Didn't really get into my swing till after the game. Poor effort. Right, we'll move on from that. Move on from my poor effort. Just a few bits of news that have come out. I mean, there's been plenty in the last couple of weeks, but we won't go through all of it. Just from my side, obviously, Reece Patsell's re-signed with the Scarlets, which is great news. English Premiership clubs are in for him. I think Bath was strongly linked with him. But glad to see he's staying with the Scarlets. Stopey stays injury-free. I do think he could be a big difference for Wales, just with the way he plays the game. But obviously, that's fitness permitting. And then the other one's just Rodri Jones has signed for the Dragons from the Ospreys. It's a good signing for the Dragons. He's a decent enough player. I mean, Pivak was calling him up, even though he wasn't playing for the Ospreys. But yeah, that's about it for me.
News from me then. So tomorrow, Scotland women against Colombia for a place in the World Cup. So that's like absolutely massive game for Scotland. You know, it's a, as I say, like it's an opportunity to, I suppose, to inspire the next rugby players off the bus, really, I suppose, to Scotland women to make a bit of a name for themselves, qualify for the World Cup and like I say, hopefully inspire the next generation. So fingers crossed they can beat Colombia tomorrow. Wasps have signed Kieran McDonald from Glasgow, second row. So he can play six as well. So I was surprised at that. I thought he was getting quite a bit of game time at Glasgow. So I thought he'd be happy there. But moving on to Wasps. And then the last bit of news I got is a bit sad. It's not close though, but he was one of my favourite players. And I got to meet him in 1999. So Vainga Twigamala's died. I've not seen how he died. It's not really gone into any detail. But yeah, 1999 World Cup, which is held in Wales and England, they stayed at the hotel, Manu Samoa, as they were called then, stayed at the hotel that I was working at. And it was during my GCSE, so I had a lot of time to do revision and ended up doing quite a bit of work waiting on. So I served them quite a bit. And he was like the one, obviously, I wanted to really meet because he was a massive name back then. And I managed to get him to sign my rugby ball, and he got all the Samoan players to sign it. So he was a lovely bloke. And when I met him, I only met him a little bit, But yeah, just gutted to see that unfortunately he's died. So you know, best wishes to his family, really. Yeah.
Yeah, great player. Great player. Like we went to watch him, didn't we, against Japan at Wrexham.
Yeah, Wrexham, yeah, the World Cup, yeah, and they won as well, didn't they, Samoa?
Yeah, yeah. I mean I didn't meet him and I missed him. I was in college doing sports science, blagging I was doing sports science. And they'd used a gym at our local leisure centre, and apparently he broke one of the weights machines because he put that much weight on it, snapped the cable. Cable mustn't have been that good, but I can imagine it was a hefty bit. Like, so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he'd done it. Played rugby league, rugby union, he was class in both, so says everything about him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Right then, should we move on and talk about the other weekend?
No, do we have to?
Yeah, why not? Why not? What I will say from the start is never in doubt, was it? Never in doubt, really. I had loads of confidence. I thought Wales were going to win by ease. And obviously, I'm Billy bullshitting there. Where to start, really? It was a bit of a... I mean, first thing first, amazing to be back in the stadium. Atmosphere was unreal.
Yeah.
Anthems, both in fairness, the Scotland fans were very, very vocal as well. Unbelievable.
No, it's good because the Scottish fans sing the Welsh one, the Welsh fans sing the Scottish one. So you kind of get everyone singing both national anthems. So it's pretty
100%.
Good.
100%. And it's nice to have the band back in the stadium for the first time in, I think it's 2 years, which obviously got all the people singing and stuff. Yeah, it was just atmosphere wise, it's top notch. It was really good. But it was a bit of a mad game, wasn't it? I mean, the first sort of 10 minutes, 15 minutes were just frantic, crazy. And I thought Scotland started really well. I mean, we had the Owen Watkin break early doors, didn't we? Which obviously, you know, Hoggy stopped, and we'll probably discuss that in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the team started scoring points, but they were like gimme points, weren't they? They were like really poor penalties. I thought Scotland started really well. We were missing tackles to start off with. And obviously, Darcy Graham went over for his try, which was a great pass from Finn, to be fair. Now I've watched it back, it's an even better pass.
Yeah.
Bit dodgy defence from Reece Abbott, but really well finished by Darcy Graham. But then it was a tale of two halves. I thought actually Scotland, when I watched it back, I thought Scotland were better in the first half and we managed to stay in the game. I thought Scotland let us in the game really with some silly penalties and then some cute...
You never had to work hard for your penalties, did you?
No, like, neither did Scotland, did they? There was some really silly penalties. But once Scotland had gone up, I think it was 14-6, wasn't it, at one point? I thought, to be fair, when we were sat there, obviously, I was quite nervous anyway, but it was, it was a tale of two halves. When we went at half time, 14-0, I thought, listen, we're still in the game, which is the best thing. And the thing to say, I mean, on TV, it looked bad. The conditions, the rain was unbelievable, wasn't it? Luckily, we were under cover. But the weather conditions, you know, I've seen some people been a bit harsh about some of the rugby that was playing. You're like, it was torrential rain, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose I'll go from a Wales perspective. Positives and stuff. I thought Wales attacked the breakdown. They made a real big nuisance at it. I mean, you've got to do that if you're going to pick two sevens. I thought the line-out was really good. We went 12 from 12, which was a massive improvement from the Ireland game. Scrum and Moore went really well as well. Something that we targeted, not targeted, but something that we improved in that second half. Our Moore really took over that sort of game, especially in that weather. It's really what we needed. And obviously our intensity, you know, our physicality went up a level, which, you know, I think we both said on the pod a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, that we expected Wales to do that. I just thought it wouldn't last the whole game. There's only so much, but I thought they did really well on that. Negatives, attack, really poor. Haven't got a clue. when we got into the ground and I was watching Wales and Scotland warm up, but it's really fascinating to watch them. I was watching Scotland and they were running shape and stuff like that, like nice little passes and stuff. When I was watching Wales, there was really nothing like that. No shape to the backs or anything like that. Like, and I thought our attack was, and all right, conditions were bad, but the attack was, we never really looked like, apart from the Francis try, which came from a driving wall, which I said is already quite good. We didn't really look like scoring, to be fair. Even when you were down to 14 after Finn. So, all in all, a really good performance because we needed the win. You know, there was a lot of, you know, talk about the forwards and physicality, and I thought our front five, you know, really, really stood up and played well, to be fair. Played really well. At the end of the day, a win's a win.
Yeah, so I'm obviously probably quite negative about it. I've rewatched the game, and like I'm it probably sounds a bit thingy now, and then the results result. But I still think if Scotland had turned up, I still think they'd have won. I thought Wales were like loads better than how they showed against Ireland, but I still think they were there for the taking. I still thought. And this is like, because you could obviously I'll slate Scotland a bit, but I still thought as good as like Wales for like emotion and like effort and all that, it was all there. But they still looked a little bit rudderless. They still look like they don't really have a plan on how yep. they're going to play, which blows my mind with the players they've got there. And like Wales won like because they deserved to, and they were better than Scotland on the day. Scotland's from a, then like, and that's not me trying to slate Wales because they did deserve to win. But then from Scotland's point of view, it's like we used to be this like team that attacked, and that was our identity. And it was like, well, you can't just do that; you've got to defend. And now it just seems like we're just got this attitude like, well, we'll just defend then, and then we barely attack. Like against England, we like attacked pretty much once and scored a try. We scored two joined in, but and against Wales, you know, that first half we did a little bit, but then that second half it was just like, oh well, we'll just defend this now. And it's like we went 17-14 up, and it was just like, oh well, we'll just defend this now. And it's like, what are you, you know, you don't seem to have the balance right of, and whether that's because you've got like, I don't know, like because you haven't got maybe a Cam Redpath playing, or Finn obviously didn't have one of his better games, and neither did Hogg, but you know. They've previously been the reason that maybe we've won games, but if Finn's not having a good game, then there's other players there that are meant to be good players. There's like, you know, there's Lions in that team that should be able to go, right, Finn's not having a good game, well, we need to step up. Or Hoggy's not having a good game, we need to step up. And I didn't think anyone really did that. Maybe Darcy Graham, because I thought he still was half decent. So I'm a bit like disillusioned, because I still don't think Scotland were that good against England either. And now I'm a little bit like, and in the autumn internationals, I didn't think we were that good, although we got results. So I'm a little bit, don't really know. I can see like Scotland have got a way of playing and things like that, but they're not getting the nuts and bolts right, and they're making too many errors. You know, if you're only going to attack for 20% of the game or something, then you've got to be absolutely clinical, and we're not being that at the moment. Like I say, we gave so many cheap penalties away. It was a little bit like Glasgow gave a lot of cheap penalties away, and I think we had that, we were doing that on Saturday, and it was frustrating. I mean, like Finn's copped a lot of criticism, and which I think like he might have been part of the reason we didn't win, but he's won us a lot more games than he's lost us, and I still don't think our pack gave great ball. I think Wales pack were better. I think you probably wouldn't. Ferguson was good until he went off, actually, but I wouldn't say Hamish Watson had a good game. I wouldn't say Skinner had a good game or anything like that. You know, Wales bossed the breakdown, and you know, so if you're not giving Finn Russell good ball, what do you expect him to do? Just pull out rabbits out of a hat? You know, he needs to be given a platform. I don't think we were necessarily given that. So I was hugely frustrated. I'm hoping that there's going to be a reaction against France. But even if there's a reaction against France, we're going to be very reliant on France not being at their best if we're going to be able to be able to beat them. I thought we missed Jamie Ritchie. I think we've got all, like, I think we've got so many good players now in Scotland. You can replace every player. Like, Kinghorn's not as good as Hogg, but the standard doesn't drop loads when Hogg's not there if Kinghorn plays fullback, or even if Sean Maitland came in and played fullback. Same with the wingers. Same with, even with Hastings coming in at playing 10. All right, he's not as good as Finn Russell, but Hamish Watson doesn't play 7. Darge is there to play 7. There's no 6 that we've got that can replace Jamie Ritchie because of what he does and what he brings. He's genuinely irreplaceable. I think we saw that at the weekend. Like, Sam Skinner's a decent player, but he ain't Jamie Ritchie, and he's not even close. Like, Jamie Ritchie's good at the breakdown. He's got that nasty, he's got that horror thing about him. He's always at the breakdown. He's just very good all around. I just think he's one of them players for us that's, it's a little bit irreplaceable. Not, he's not our best player, but he's our most irreplaceable player.
Yeah, so, yeah, really good point. I mean, like, to be fair, and with you, like, honestly, that's what I said about Wales' attack. What is it? You know what I mean? You know, someone like Rhys Ammitt has got dropped this week. Surely based on that tackle against Darcy Graham, the rest of it, I mean, we were there at the weekend, and what did we say? Just the wingers never get the ball. Never.
Like Andy Goode said today, he said on his pod, like, he said, Wales got a world-class back line. They actually, their back three is world-class. But they don't get given anything.
Don't get given anything.
And the thing is, that's not going to change because your captain is Dan Biggar, who was very good against Wales, don't get me wrong, against Scotland, sorry. But if he's your captain, he plays that way, and that's the way Wales are going to play.
Yeah,
and that ain't going to change.
I've said it. I think we're stuck. We're stuck in between that. And it's changing, as in the personnel is starting to change. But that, I mean, that was very much a Gatland game, wasn't it? I think I said it to you when we were out on Saturday. That just reminded me of a Warren Gatland team.
Yeah.
Not a team. And Pivac has had close to 3 years. This is his third Six Nations. And you're not seeing a Pivac team. I'm seeing a Gatland team. And don't get me wrong, it's exactly what we needed. But we can't get carried away with it because it was, in some aspects, it was really poor. I mean, like you were talking about Jamie Rich and Skinner coming in for him. To me, I thought this, both team selections is where it was, if you look at it, is where the game was won and lost in a sense. As in, Sam Skinner, yeah, he did a job, but I think international level, he's probably, I think you get away with it more at club level, but international level, he's probably a second row.
He's a second row, yeah. Yeah, agreed.
International level, I'm don't know, he can do a job. I'm not digging in on Sam Skinner, but what we said was, and we said it on the pod, you must be going for our line out, and I don't think you really attacked our line out at all.
No.
Our line out well, but you didn't really attack it. And then once you don't do that with Skinner, and we've got 2 sevens on the pitch, and Jack Morgan had a really good debut. I thought Tane Basham put himself about. We'll talk about, obviously, we'll talk about some of the controversies in the game in a minute. And then the other one is and I'm going to say this, and you're probably going to hate it, is, you know, it was all talk about the bomb squad. They ended up being the bomb squad, didn't they?
Yeah, like Xander Faison came on and gave away penalties. I don't really agree with the WP Nell penalty that he gave away on the scrum, but other than that, yeah, they didn't do anything.
And I think, if you look at it, before it, we both said, if you looked at Scotland's bench and Wales' bench, and that was me personally, I said it, didn't I? I was like, I think the bench is coming on. Are going to make a hell of a difference, and I think that's where you'll beat us. Whereas actually, it was flipped. I think everyone who actually came off the bench for Wales, every one of them made a difference to the game. You had Dylan Lewis, putting in big hits, and he got a couple of turnovers. Gareth Thomas, Derry Lake came on. You know, nothing changed in the scrum, nothing changed in the line-out. Seb Davis came on, took a few line-outs and put his up. I mean, Gareth Davis didn't get on, and Seedy got on for, 10 seconds?
Yeah,
but who came on? Wainwright came on. Actually, Wainwright. When you watch the game back, Wainwright came on, made a difference. John Davis
made a steal at the end.
Huge difference. Oh, baby Fraser.
That's his first cry.
This is all about Tottenham losing. But yeah, I think that was a big thing. You know, I mean. Selection's always in hindsight, isn't it? You know, at the end of the day. It's easy to talk about it once the game's finished, but yeah. I mean, it's wasn't. I wouldn't say it was a. I wouldn't say it was a great game. I remember we texted our group, which got my dad, and your uncle, and I said great game, probably because it was all wrapped up in the game and us winning. But it wasn't a great game. It was exactly what Wales needed. But at the same time, I don't think, you can get too carried away with it. Scotland were really poor, like you say. Finn, I mean, he threw that pass for the Darcy Graham thing. There's not many fly halves in the world who throw a pass like that. I've got to give it to him from there. After that, he was pretty dross. I was
He
listening to
kicked. He
what.
kicked a. He kicked a kickoff out on the full.
On
He
the
missed
floor.
touch. He got
Cards
charged
back.
down. He got a yellow carded. Yeah, nothing went like went his way. Yeah.
Hoggy, I've listened to all the Scottish podcasts, and to be fair, I agree with him. Hoggy like put a lot on his back, and like you said, at that point, Finn was having a mare, wasn't he? And it wasn't getting better. It wasn't getting better for him. And obviously, at
You ain't
that
gonna
point,
replace with Blair
they're
King on, are you?
never going to be. No, exactly. And at that point, if someone's having that much of a mare, you have to be brave enough to go, listen, come on, mate, let's just, And obviously, mistakes like, I mean, Biggar tries to take that kick from the halfway, hits the post. Cuthbert, I know there's a bouncing ball, but Cuthbert is the only Welsh player surrounded by Scottish players, and he gets the ball, and that leads to Finn's yellow, which I
Yeah.
think we both said, defo yellow.
Well, 100%, yeah.
Defo yellow. Then you've got the Tane Basham incident at the end. For me, yellow, but you couldn't argue with red. Weird, we didn't hear the TMO, but we listened to the TMO. It started on his arm and then on his chin. Didn't. But he should have gone, but I'm not sure that would have made a difference.
Nah.
The biggest talking point, I think, is Hoggies. And I stand by it to yellow. But I think he got away with that because it was 2 minutes into the game or 3 minutes into the game, and he's the Scotland captain. But I mean, made no difference. I mean, that the thing with the Hog was probably Wales's best attack. And the thing is, if you watch that back, we attack from inside our 22. Nice little break from Owen Watkins. That was the only thing that we really did in attack. Line breaks and stuff like that. Like so. Loads of improvements to be had this weekend, obviously, with two big games coming up. But yeah, I mean, never in doubt, mate. I said it, didn't I? Easy. I put Scotland down by 16 on
Gee
the match.
whiz.
Yeah, on my match point. So, oh, it was good. Good weekend. I know the result didn't go your way, mate, but
Still a good weekend, mate.
cracking can't do much about that. Right, we'll move on because there is two more games this weekend, and we'll start with Scotland versus France. Just gets easier for it, doesn't it?
So, I mean, I'll go through the Scotland team anyway. Cause quite a few changes. So, front row, Schoeman, McInerney, Ferguson. Second row, Skinner, Gilchrist. Back row, Darge, Watson, Bradbury. Darge making his first start. And then the backs, no change to the backs. Ali Price at 9, Russell at 10. Tupilotu and Harris at centre. And then on the wings, Doohan, Darcy Graham and Hogg. And then subs, Turner, Keble, Nell, Hodgson, the second row, Haining, and then Ben White, Kinghorn, and Mark Bennett. So in terms of like the squad, like the starting 15, I think if Redpath was fit, I think he would have started at 12 against France, personally. But Tupilotu was there. Hopefully he gets a little bit more ball, but that'll depend on how the forwards go. We're definitely going to attack the breakdown with Darge and Hamish Watson there. Finn Russell after last week or 2 weeks ago, he owes us a game. He plays in France. This is probably a game where he's like, I fancy this. I certainly hope it is. And it's going to be good to see Bradbury start again. Like his club form's been very, very good, or as we keep saying, but at the same time, he's not really played against any of the Irish clubs where their back rows are, very, very good. But he has gone well. I think Schoeman deserves a start. I thought he was probably one of the shining lights against Wales for Scotland. I thought he was very good. But I think with the pack, the way it looks, I think Scotland are going to try and move them around a little bit. They look like they're going to want to have a go. They've got to front up. They didn't. I thought Wales forwards like bossed it against Scotland. And if Scotland are going to have any joy, the forwards have to turn up. They have to give Ali Price and Finn Russell some form of platform to be able to get the backs going. I do think that if France are at 100%, it doesn't matter how well Scotland play, we ain't beating them. However, you know, we're hoping they have an off day. Scotland are at their best. I'm hoping as well France are going to have their old attitude of Scotland aren't that good and things like that. But after last year when we beat them at the death, people like Sean Edwards in the squad, in the coaching team, like getting them focused, I think it's going to be very hard. Scotland at home, though, you know, they've made Murrayfield a bit of a fortress. So I think it'll be a really good game. Hang on. Putting the dummy back in the baby's mouth, sorry. I think it'll be a good game. But I'm on the fence at the moment on who I think can win. Scotland have to be clinical if they're going to get anything out of this game.
So just France are just, when you look at the team and just, it's just scary. It's just like everywhere is a threat. You watch that. I mean, after watching the Wales-Scotland game, we got back in the boozer, didn't we? And we managed to get a good spec for the Ireland-France game. One hell of a game. I mean, those two, such a different level to everyone else in the tournament. Ireland and France. I mean, fairness to Ireland, they did all right. But then you look at the physicality. Some of the clear outs and just the size, and it's going to be tough for Scotland. But wouldn't shock me if Scotland just, you know, France do a French thing, punch someone in the face or do something silly. You know, it's all cliches, isn't it? Scotland got to start well, they've got to do this, got to do that. To me, Scotland have just got to go in. To me, it's a team that's set up to have a go. I think I text you that, you know, yeah. With Dom in the back row, you know. Massive step up for him. I'm really interested to see how he goes. He only got a bit of time against Wales and didn't really show up, which is it's difficult when you're a sub. But obviously getting a start's different, so I'm really interested to see how he goes. You want to see to Pilotti get a bit of better ball. He did okay against us, but I thought there was one where he went through. There was a slip, wasn't there? But
He could have passed to Harris, yeah. And he didn't. He passed to Harris. I think it was a 2-on-1, but he didn't.
Chris Harris, to me, he's a blessing and a burden at the same time. This is not to be horrible, but he's a blessing because, you know, the way he defends at 13 and how he organises defence is exactly what Tandy wants, and that's great. But at the moment, he brings next to nothing in attack, really. Not next to nothing, that's a bit harsh. But he doesn't bring, you know, spark and attack. And I suppose that's why you need maybe a Redpath or you need a two of Pilotti. But for me, yeah, Scotland need to throw the ball about a bit. It's cliche, but, you know, get France moving around. They are big boys. And I know they're a lot fitter than they used to be. But Scotland aren't going to win this game just kicking points. I don't know what the weather forecast is going to be like in Scotland. I imagine it's not great. But, I mean, it's one hell of a tough game. I'm not looking forward to France coming to Cardiff, to be honest. If you just look at them physically, you know, they lose one player and just bring in another class player. And they've gone 6-2 split on the bench. So you know what they're doing. They're going to come and try and smash up front, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Real tough day at the office for Scotland, but, you know, I mean, and the thing is, you're missing Johnny Gray, Rory Sutherland, Jamie Ritchie now. I thought they might change is on the bench. I thought Vellacott might have got a crack. Not that Ben White's been bad, but I think
he's different, isn't he?
Yes. Having that injection of pace that he has and changing the game. You know, are they going to be brave enough to throw a King Horn on if things aren't going well? You know, is Mark Bennett
going to get so bad King Horn last weekend as well against? Who did they play last week?
Munster,
yeah, he was rubbish.
So, you know, are those, you know, are they going to be that? You know, Mark Bennett, you know, could they be brave and bring Mark Bennett on instead of Harris? Probably not, because Mark Harris is such a really good player. Like you said, I wasn't trying to dig him out, but he's no Hugh Jones, is he?
Yeah.
But then Hugh Jones doesn't defend like him, so it's what you want. But yeah, ultimately, I agree with something you said way back when you said about Scotland. I think they're a bit confused how they want to play. They've gone ultra defensive, and it's only about a matter of time before Finn, you know, throws the toys out the pram again, like, isn't it? yeah, I think they're a bit confused. I think they like being solid, but then I think, you know, you've got, you know, Duane last weekend, we didn't even talk about it, did we? I watched him for Worcester the other night against Bristol, and he was coming in off his wing and he was damaging people and beating defenders and making meters. I know it's different, but you didn't see any of that, did you? Against
Well, he came off in off his wing twice and knocked the ball on twice. No,
so. No. I think there's something like that, though, either, did I? Massive hits from Welsh players. Yeah. you want to see Duane being used, you want to see Darcy Graham being used, you want to see Hoggy attacking in the right areas. You know, not necessarily sometimes, I thought Hogg kicked too much in the second half especially. But yeah, really looking forward to the game though. I think if Scotland turn up and have a crack at them, I think it could be a really entertaining game.
And we get to watch it together again, don't we?
Together again, we've still got games together. Well, everyone else is like, oh, I don't even know what's going on. Yeah, so interesting game. Well, obviously, that is going to be followed up by Wales, England.
It's a big one, really, isn't it?
Very big one. I'll run through the team like you did. So, one change in the pack. So it's Wynne Jones, Ryan Elias, Tom Francis, Beard, Will Rowlands, Ross Moriarty, Tane Basham, and Talupe Faletau, who's come back in. And then it's Thomas Williams, Dan Bigger, Josh Adams comes back on the wing, Nick Tompkins, Owen Watkin, Alex Cuthbert, who's winning his 50th cap, and Liam Williams at fullback. And then the bench, there's a few changes on the bench, which is shocked. There's Dewey Lake, Gareth Thomas, Leon Brown, Seb Davis, Jack Morgan, Kieran Hardy, Gareth Anscombe, and John Davis. So, a few strange selections. And obviously, looking at the England team and breaking news that happened just before we started recording, is Manu Tuilagi's pulled out with injury, done his hamstring again. So he's pulled out the game, which changes everything. Not changes everything, but it's a big thing. From the Wales side, I'm not shocked Faletau's come straight back into the team. Some would say that's harsh on Jack Morgan, but you know, you're talking about, you know, a world-class player when he's fully fit and fully firing. Obviously, he's only had, you know, 1.5 games, or you know, 1.75 games for Bath, but he does add physicality to the pack. Another line-out option, which has been used. I suppose the big shock in the back is Lewry Samet being dropped, Cuthbert keeping his place. How do I feel about that? I would have kept Lewry Samet.
Yeah.
I think he's been dropped because of maybe some defensive frailties, which we knew he had. He is young. But at the same time, I think I said it earlier, in these games, wingers have had nothing. There's been no ball shipped out wide, whether that's 10, 12, 13 problem, or the fact that we just don't know what we're doing at attack, which is what it looks like. I think it's really harsh. I think, you know, nothing against Cuthbert. I think probably people on this pod think I dislike him. It's not that I dislike him. I just don't think we should be going back to a winger who was at his peak in 2013 when he was a Lion, and it's 2022. You know, I think the only way that Reece Amit's going to learn is by playing. And I think, I mean, what Pivak has said today, that since Ireland, when he hurt his ankle, he hasn't been 100%. So then why was he playing last week? If he wasn't 100%, why was he playing last week? Do you not trust the other players? And this is why, you know, I think Scotland people always argue about, always joke about Tooney Tombola. Well, I think Wales now, it's the Pivak puzzle.
Yeah.
Because he just makes some crazy decisions. You look at the bench, you've got Leon Brown, who's coming for Dylan Lewis. You know, I've always said Dylan Lewis, you know, if he, you know, he needs to improve his scrummaging. But, you know, the bomb squad came on and Lewis did really well against him. And he's good around the pitch. Leon Brown is nothing against him, but Leon Brown hasn't played for 4 or 5 weeks. You know, strange decision. Kieran Hardy has had no form for the Scarlets. He played the other night, but, you know, Gareth Davis didn't even get on the pitch against Scotland. You know, what's he done wrong? Anscombe comes in instead of Sheedy. Same again. Don't know. Maybe he didn't like the way Sheedy played against Worcester the other night. It would be nice for Anscombe to come on and make a difference, though, after 2 years ago injuring his knee at Twickenham. So, really tough game. If you look at that England team, they brought a lot of big guns back in. Like you say, Tui Lange being out now does change it because he is X Factor. You know, it is tough to keep him at bay. And I think they're a completely different team now. They lose that carrying in midfield, which would, I think, make things easier for them. We need to front up again, like we did against Scotland. But like you said about Scotland against France, we need to go beyond that as well. And we also need to try something. You know, we need to get our backs into the game. If you're going to play Cuthbert on the wing, I mean, there were a lot of people said, oh, he worked really hard off the ball and came looking for the ball. I watched the game back and I watched it live. Didn't really see Cuthbert going looking for the ball. For a guy of his size, he should be coming inside. I do think you'll get that with Adams.
Yeah, definitely.
And he does like to go looking for the ball. And I think, you know, having him back in the team is massive, isn't it? He's, at the end of the day, my opinion, he's a world-class winger when he's on fire. So, you know, it's big there. But, you know, we need to see more from Bigger, Tompkins and Watkin in attack, you know. Yeah, tough game, really, really tough game. But England are a bit of an enigma. That, you know, they were okay against Italy. I wouldn't say they were brilliant. I think, I do think Marcus Smith is an unbelievable player, but I think people are getting a little bit too carried away with him at the moment. You know, and watch him tear us to shreds now, which wouldn't surprise me. He is class. I mean, they picked Harry Randall, so it looks like they're going to attack us from the off. And you know, like you say, whether that changes with Tui Lange not being in the team, I don't know. But yeah, tough. We haven't beat them there since 2015 in the World Cup. So toughy, really. I mean, I think like the point that you made about, you know, will things change with Bigger at 10? And I thought, you know, he was really good last week. Probably should have gone off earlier with his dead leg that he kept going on about or whatever. Yeah.
So I think the game is won and lost in the forwards on Saturday with Wales and England. And I think if Wales can match the forwards, I think that they're in the game. If not, I think I think it's a tough ask because England's forwards are very, very good. I think and I think that's why they put Harry Randall there. I think they're banking on good ball, quick ball, and that's where they've gone Randall. I think they think if they can get that quick ball, I think they can hurt Wales. And I can see why as well, because although they were defended better against Scotland, that first, like Wales still missed quite a few tackles at the start. And they missed a lot against Ireland. I think if they can get quick ball out before Wales can get the defence set, I think they think they're in, and I think that's why they've gone Harry Randall. I think they want that quick ball zipping about and get it to Marcus Smith. And obviously, you were gonna have Manu in there. Holes against defence that's not organised, and going from there, I think if Wales can disrupt that, and I'm not sure you will because you've only gone with 1-7 this time, I think, haven't you?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure you will be able to disrupt it like you did against Scotland and attack the breakdown. So I don't know. I think Wales are really up against it this week. England, as much as I hate them, I think they're going to be one of them teams that improve all the way through the tournament, which I think why I'm glad Scotland got them first. But I hope I'm wrong. I generally hope where England Wales turn up and absolutely smoke them. But I can't see it. I think, as I said, and it sounds bitter, and I generally don't mean it to. I still think if Scotland turned up last week, they'd have won. I think going to Twickenham, I think it's going to be a bridge too far for Wales, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it. But if Wales can get good ball themselves and get the ball out to the backs, I think they've got a chance. But I think Wales are going to be looking for penalties and looking for Dan Biggar's boot. And I just don't think that's going to be enough to like putting 3 points on here and there against England. I don't think it's going to be enough.
Yeah, so yeah, I agree. Like, it is one up front. I mean, England are good. I mean, England up front are good, really good. I don't think, I mean, Atoje's class, but Charlie Yule's, I don't really rate.
I can't believe Lunchbox didn't come back.
Yeah, as soon as he was out, I was buzzing. You know, obviously the back row, it's, you know, if we give him quick ball, you got a player like Marcus Smith and Harry Randall, they're going to obviously play at speed and try and move the ball around, aren't they, ultimately? But, you know, at the same time, you've got to attack them on the... Like, if we get the ball, we need to attack a Marcus Smith. We need to attack a Harry Randall in defence. You know, Courtney Laws, a bit like Faletau, haven't played for a long time. So fitness-wise there. I mean, you're right, we need to attack him at the breakdown because as good as Tom Curry is, he gives away a lot of penalties. He's a little bit like... He doesn't know, he hasn't quite learned yet when to go in and when to go out. Yeah, I mean, the pack could steamroll us or we could do well. You just need parity with them, don't you? And you need to stop that quick ball. And like you said, I mean, we need to show something different in attack. When we get the ball, we need to be positive with it. I've got no problem with, you know, playing for territory and, you know, and getting yourself in the right areas. But I think there were times against Scotland, wasn't there? And I know everything looks different when you're live, but even when, you know, there was times when we did get into the 22 in that first half, and it was just don't want to give it, just don't want to give it. And it's, you know, we do have very good wingers. Liam Williams, who I thought played really well against Scotland, to be fair. You know, when he starts to look confident, that's a good sign for Wales because, you know, he can be a really attacking weapon, but it doesn't really matter if he doesn't get the ball in decent areas. So, oh, yeah, it'll be a tough one. I'll just have to drink a lot of beers again, mate. I'm not very positive this year in the situations, am I? Not really positive at all. Right, okay, so it's time. Predictions, Scotland versus France.
Well, hang on, let me open my Match Pint predictor up so I can do it now while we do it. See, I've literally got Fraser in my arms, and you can tell he's ready to kick off. Oh, I'm top of the Match Point predictor as well. I didn't realise that. Set your predictions right.
Right.
Scotland, France.
So my head says France, but I'm going with my heart. So I'm going to go Scotland by 6. Oh, there we go.
Ooh.
He doesn't agree.
I'm going to go France by 12. Sorry, mate.
England, Wales, I'll let you go first since you're Welsh.
Ooh. Head says England, heart says Wales. But I pride myself for being very honest on here. So Wales by 5.
I'm going England by 14.
Yeah. I'll probably do that before the weekend's done, mate. Ireland versus Italy. Depending on what team Ireland pick, Ireland by 28.
Ireland at home, aren't they? I'm going Ireland by 36.
Yeah, it's probably about a shout, actually. Ireland by 38. Right, Sam. So, sorry about last week, but we've managed to get everything in this week. Hopefully, you get to enjoy the games. I know I say this every week, but Hopefully you can, with everything that's been going on. Me and you are due to meet up in a cottage tomorrow.
Yeah.
Somewhere down South Wales, Monmouthshire.
Yeah.
So
Monmouth's called in, I mean, it's Gloucestershire, is it Gloucestershire?
No, it's still in Wales, mate.
Still in Wales, is it?
Yeah, I'm sure it's Monmouthshire. Probably nowhere near. Both probably miles away, aren't we? But we're just turning up. So yeah, we'll both get to watch the games together at the weekend, which is nice. There's loads of room, so we'll be able to find a room with a TV in. And get the beers on the go, mate. I've got plenty of beers, don't worry. Loads of beers. Got to start easy, though. That's for the Scotland game. Otherwise, we'll be bladdered again, won't we?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Right, okay. So we'll get off now because Baby Fraser is about to absolutely kick right off. Enjoy the games. You know, hopefully Wales and Scotland win. If Wales and Scotland win, we get fucked up. End of. And yeah, I'll see you tomorrow afternoon, Michael.
I'll see you tomorrow, mate.
Hopefully, everyone's listening again next week. So thank you very much.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.